2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, that's where we live, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be self-centered. And out of that self-centeredness flows the rest of the thing. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, incontinent means untamable, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The second mark of this age is not only self-centeredness, but the second mark is religious form. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying their power thereof, a form of godliness, but God, keep your hands off me, denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Verse 7, they're educated, ever learning. We have more folks with degrees today than any time in human history. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I want to speak this morning on the subject, graduation without education. A lady, I believe in Dade County, Florida, sued the county because her daughter graduated from high school and couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't multiply, and yet she'd spent 12 years in an institution that was supposed to educate her daughter and prepare her for life in business or in home, and she got her diploma, but she wasn't educated. If your education does not give you the answers to life and adjustment to life and lead to well-being and a satisfactory life and a satisfactory home life and a proper adjustment to God, to society, and to home and church, then you have not received an education. You wasted 12 years of your life. It's tragic that today men know how to go to the moon, but don't know how to go to heaven. That's not education. Young people can go into the laboratory and they can take two parts hydrogen and mix it with oxygen and they know they come up with water. But they do not know that you mix lust with sin equals death. Now you know it's a law. If you take two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, you know that you come up with a solution called water. That's a law of science, inexorable law. There's a law, if you take lust and mix it with sin, it bringeth forth death just as certain as two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen bringeth forth water. And an education, it can't make you so smart in the science laboratory, but make you a first-class idiot and a fool in the laboratory of life is not an education. Again, they know how to teach one world government, but don't know how to have unity in the home. They talk about one world togetherness, and if you can't get along with the folks under the roof of your house, you can't get along outside of your house. They know how to prevent pregnancy, but they do not know how to prevent adultery. They know how to sow to get an abundant harvest, but they do not know that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And young people, I got news for you. It's bad news. One of these days, you're going to reap the harvest that you have sown. Just as sure and just as positive as a man puts corn in the ground and corn comes up. Young people, there's a harvest day coming, and the harvest day that one day you'll sit down at a table and eat will be that which you sowed and set the table for yourself. Now, you don't like that, but that's true. Again, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 21, he said, my people are wise to do evil, but how to do good they have no knowledge. Well, what a day. Wise to know how to break into a house. Wise to how to use dope. Wise to how to use marijuana. Wise how to commit adultery. Wise in the sex act. was in rebellion, was in how to get away with the law, and was how to fake your parents out, was how to steal, was how to rob, was how to cheat on grace, was to do evil, but how to do good they know not. And if you're so smart about knowing how to good to do evil and you do not know how to do good, then you have an education of an idiot. You say, I don't like that. You don't know what the word idiot means. The word idiot means one's own. You're wrapped up in number one. I'll get to my message in just a moment. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 talks about the last days. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And oh my, we're turning out boys and girls with their heads full of facts and figures, and they do not know the very rudiments of what life is all about. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if your education does not equip you in order to serve you, but your education ruins you, you have not received an education. You received a diploma, but you didn't get an education. And some of you young people sitting here with your eyes closed, just close them. You go ahead one day, God will close His eyes on you. That's the end of my text. You reap what you sow. You turn a deaf ear. God, I'm not going to listen. One day you're going to cry, and God's going to put His fingers in His ear. He won't listen. I'm talking warning this morning, and you're not going to listen. And one day, you want God to listen, and you desperately want somebody to listen, you'll reap exactly what you sow. There'll be a deaf ear to your cry, and you laugh at God, and one day God's gonna laugh at you. You never heard that, did you? You're fixing to. Now let's look at this four things. Graduation without education because three things in a result. Number one, because they rejected the center of education. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Young people, my heart goes out to you. There's never been a generation when the devil's turned everything in the world loose on you. And I've said it and I say it again. There's no way in the world for a young boy or girl to go through public schools unless they have a strong home life and a strong church life to back it up without coming out a rebel against everything in society. No way. All right, number one. Graduation without education because they've rejected the center of education. What is it? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The education that you're getting out there today puts God in the out on the outer part and puts man in the center. That man is the center of a well-organized society. I tell you, man is not the center of an organized society. God is the center. And you haven't gotten to first base, and you're not in the process of education in the true sense of the word until you have learned to fear the Lord. For if you don't fear God, all the tools that you get in that world will be tools that will enable you to be more wicked and mean, and tools that will ruin your life. The fear of the Lord. You afraid God? No, you don't pray. You're not afraid of God. If you're afraid of God, brother, I'll guarantee you, you wouldn't do like you do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there's a key in Luke 11:52. Stay in Proverbs. God said to the prophets, the lawyers of His day, woe unto you lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you did not. You entered in not yourself. Now there's a key of knowledge that opens the door, and it begins with the fear of the Lord. This universe will not work right. They couldn't have gone to the moon until they got the sun in the proper place. For years and years, there was a theory called the theory of Copernicus, and it was called, not the theory of Copernicus, but it was Copernicus the one who made the discovery, but it was called the geocentric theory. And the whole, scientists thought that this earth was the center of the universe. And they never could have put a man on the moon until they got the earth in its proper place. They discovered the heliocentric theory. Copernicus discovered it, that the sun is the center of our solar system. The S-O-S-U-N. And when they got the sun as a center, then they were able to do exploits in space because they got the sun in the right place and the earth in its proper place. Now, if you think this earth is the center of the universe, life will never work for you. And you must put the S-O-N in the center of your solar system. And when you get the S-O-N, the Son of God, in the center, life works. And when you put yourself in the center, brother, you are fighting established laws of God and the universe. And there is no way in the world that you can turn out except wrong because you're operating on wrong laws. Again. Now let's look at the results of fearing God. Look at Proverbs 9. Bible study this morning. Proverbs 9. That's what everybody wants. All right, fear God. Here's what he says. Verse 10 and 11. Fear the Lord is beginning of wisdom. You want to be smart? Then you fear God. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Turn again, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Look at Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Look at Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now one other passage, Proverbs 6 and verse 13. Fear the Lord. Proverbs 6, 13. My son, Proverbs 6, verse 13. That's wrong. It's verse 20. Verse 20. My son. That's not it either. Just don't worry about it. Wrong place. The fear of the Lord brings all of these blessings. Now, you know what's happened? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, and men have taken God out of the center and put themselves in the center. And all of life is, how does it affect me? I'm number one. I don't care what it does to you. I'm number one. And I'll do what I want to. And if we've done today what it was in a book of Judges. They lost, they didn't have a king. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And every, hear me, the situation in America is everybody doing that which is right in his own eyes. And you are not the one to establish authority. God is the one that tells us right from wrong. In the book of Romans chapter 1, it says this, of an exchange, Romans 1:25. You just listen, let me turn. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now this is a product of evolutionary teaching. If we came from a lower life, if we came from monkeys, we're not responsible. If we came from monkeys, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no responsibility. And if there's no responsibility, there's no need for a place called Calvary. And if there's no need for a place called Calvary, there is no heaven or hell. That's a product, listen, of men who put themselves in the center of education, and they tell about how this universe came into being and rebel against the clear teachings of the Bible. He made it. You never find truth when you're in the center. Ever learning, and some of the most ignorant people in all the world are high on the list of astronomers and geologists and all and educators, but they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can't discover truth when you are the center of your solar system. You can only discover truth when Jesus Christ is the center of your system. And the thing is, you see, because we don't have any authority, and it'll soon get to the place like this. That wall's white. It ain't so great. So I said, it's not red, it's not white, it's green. You know what? I don't want to be red, I don't want to be white. It's what I want it to be. And modern art is letting a young man take a paintbrush, and he just draws something and tells what it is. You'll have to labor it. Nobody else would know what it was. And we throw aboard our absolutes of our situation ethics. Oh, there's sometimes right to kill, and there's sometimes it's right to commit a murder, and sometimes it's right to commit adultery, and sometimes it's right to steal, and sometimes it's right to lie, and sometimes it's right to overthrow the government, and sometimes, and every man is that which is right in his own eyes, and you become an authority under yourself. Boy, when you don't have any authority, we don't even know what pornography is now. Isn't that ridiculous and absurd? I mean, people, lawyers, and say we can't define pornography. Well, he ought to get off the bench. He don't have any sense. Ever learning? Oh, he's got a lawyer's degree, yet he can't define pornography. I can define pornography. Oh, he said, but I can define it because a book defines it. You see, you know what he does? When he comes to a court case, he reaches back and he finds out what men before have said about a case, and all he's doing is referring to what men said, and I don't care what men said. Men are not the judgment of right and wrong. God's the final authority. Or shall I know a preacher did it? He doesn't have to be the one to decide what's right and wrong. Well, everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right. And we've thrown overboard our absolutes. And when you start to teach something, some little squirt says, who said so? Don't do this. Who said so? You can't do that. Who said so? Sit down. Who said so? Do this. You can't make me. And I'm talking to you little juniors and primaries. You better listen to me, little boys and girls. You better listen to me, or one day God will make you sit down, and one day God will make you. No authority. By the way, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Did you know we're in that place now? I can preach, and adults will say. Adults will come, and you can preach all you want to. I can preach about tithing and visitation, and adults will... They already made up their mind. I don't care who preaches it and who says so. Ain't going to do it. Preacher said that. And by the way, I'm not giving you what I said. I'm giving you what God said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the word says this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth a word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I'm preaching the word of God to you. What are you going to do about it? Your issue is not with me. When I preach about faithfulness and you say, he can't make me faithful, the issue is not with me. The issue is your attitude toward God. You say, the matter of great commission, and you don't get involved. You're telling God, I'm not going to get involved. And we've reached a place in our churches where folks who name the name of Christ come and sit, and you can preach on it all you want to, and they ain't going to do it. They made up their mind a long time ago, and you can preach and go out the ear. And I want to tell you adults, one of these days, God's going to turn his ear to your cry. Don't have to do that. That's against my constitutional rights. All right, now. They've rejected the center of education, the fear of the Lord. Secondly, back to Proverbs 1. And here's where the shoe gets tight, young people.
Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son. Oh, that's a tender word, the Old Testament. My son. My son. I'd rather call my boy my son than call him by name. I call son. That to me is an endearing word, my son. God, when He spoke about His Son from heaven, this is my beloved son.
Joel, listen, and David, when he wept over Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son!
And so when the Word of God in the book of Proverbs begins to say, my son, it's a father sitting down with his son, his arm around his boy, and said, my son, I want to talk to you now. Now here, listen, you have a diploma without education, graduation without education, because secondly, they've rejected the classroom of education. And here it is in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, if you haven't learned that, you don't get an education. I have never in my life heard so many distraught parents about teenagers that look and grit their teeth and look at defiance and look at rebellion at them. And listen, young people to me, you better listen to this preacher this morning. You will reap what you sow. One day you're going to get married and you're going to raise a little boy, a little girl that's going to grit his teeth, and he's going to do it worse than you are, because you always reap more than you sow. And they're going to look at you in defiance and stamp their foot and say, I won't do that. Now you better listen. You better take a long look in the mirror and look what kind of child you are, because that's exactly what kind of child you're going to have in your home, and it's going to be worse than you are. That's the law of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You having a heyday now. It's not harvest time. Now let's look at this. My son, hear the instruction of a father, thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Exodus 20, verse 12. The first law that God gave to man. Now the first four dealt with his relationship to God. And his first law that he gave in his relationship to man was about honor your father and your mother. Before commit adultery, before don't steal, before don't lie, he says in Exodus 20, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is a command of God, and if you don't do it, you're not rebelling against your parents. You're saying, God, get off of my back. I'll honor who I want to honor. When David sinned, he didn't say, I sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the Lord that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And David said, against thee, the only have I sinned. And when you break God's word, you sin against God. Prodigal son, he wanted to get out of home and away from the restrictions and get in the far country. And I can't wait to get up and get me an apartment and move out of this house. He went to a far country, but when he hit bottom, the first thing he said, I've sinned against heaven. Nothing about sinning against his daddy, but the recognition that he'd rebelled against the command, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And young people, when you defy your mother and daddy, you just as well stand your foot and say, God, get off of my back! Because God told you to do it. Promise, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm glad I'm preaching this today instead of next Sunday. I had this one going to preach it Wednesday night, and then it dawned on me that the young people graduating wouldn't be here. And boy, it's been burning since then, and it's burning until next Sunday. I blew up. Ephesians 6. You young people come down here, and they won't get right with God. And I said, all right, go home, obey mom and dad. And not one of you parents will ever find this preacher guilty of treason against you. I'm trying to help your home life. You can get mad at me the way I deal with your kids, but you'll never find me. You'll never find me, listen, trying to turn your kids against you. You'll never find a husband will never find me trying to turn a wife against a husband, and a wife will never find me trying to turn a husband against a wife. I believe in home life. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the first social command of the law. That's the promise of the New Testament. That's the admonition of Solomon. And by the way, that's a preparation for salvation. If you will not submit to mom and dad, you won't submit to God. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. And listen, an obstinate son can't ever get saved. If you don't learn authority and submission to authority at home, you'll never learn it anywhere else on the face of God's earth. That's God's classroom for education. My son, hearken to thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And if you learn submission in a home, submission is easy in school. If you learn submission at home, submission is easy with the law enforcement. If you learn submission at home, it's easy in the house of God. If you don't learn it there, you'll be in trouble to everybody you come across. Who's that, son? You can't make me do that. And you'll go to hell. And this is the reason, parents, that brother, you're to teach authority in the home, because you make it almost impossible to reach one of these incorrigible young people because of the fact you didn't teach them a respect for authority. As little fellas. First John chapter 4. Man say, I love God and hate his brother. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now let me reword that a little. I'll not be tampering with scriptural truth, but listen to it. If a man say, I love God, I obey, let's substitute the word. If a man say, I obey God and obeyeth not his brother, or disobeys his brother or father, he's a liar. For he that obeyeth not his father whom he has seen, how can he obey God whom he hath not seen? And if you can't obey an earthly parent that God's told you to obey, you can't obey a heavenly parent which you cannot see. And if you're in rebellion against your parents, you're in rebellion against God. Or say, my parents are not all they ought to be. No, sir. And God didn't say if your parents are all they ought to be, obey them. He didn't say that. Learn submission. Oh, it's not very bad. Oh, I'll tell you what. You don't think disobedience is not very bad? Well, let's see. You and I wouldn't think it's bad. God told a couple by the name Adam and Eve. See that tree over there? All these other trees yours. Well, that tree don't eat. We're in the shape we're in because of that. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Oh, that wasn't very bad. Just went over there and took some fruit off a tree God said don't do to. Brother, disobedience to way is better than sacrifice. Now let's look at the blessings promised to the obedient. Those who obey the parents. Look at Proverbs 8 and 9, verses 9, 8 and 9. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? Because I said so? No, sir. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, oh, that tender word, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. You want guidance. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You want guardians. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You want counsel. For the commandment is a lamp. You want light. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's for hearkening to your father. Ephesians puts it this way, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know why there's so many tragedies among young people? God meant what He said. God meant what He said. He said that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Here's an article that says, Schools for Scoundrels. Here's a periodical that came out in a magazine in Britain called Children's Rights. This periodical in its first issue urged school children to rebel and sabotage their classrooms, to unscrew locks, smash the public address systems, paint blackboards red, and grind all the chalk to dust. The Children's Angry Brigade also urged those who do not like school to play hooky. Why should you go to a school you don't like? Education can damage your mind, said the appeal for rebellion. Schools are ugly, depressing buildings. They didn't tell you where that leads. Now, instead of hearkening to the counsel of parents, it substituted self. Now, let me show you what disobedience is a mark of. It's a mark of about six things. Number one, it's a mark of heathenism. Romans 1, when Paul wrote the record of the heathen and their vile sins, he said one of the marks in Romans 1:31 is this. Verse 30. Disobedient to parents. One of the marks of heathenism and paganism is rejection of the home life and parental authority. Again, the matter of disobedience to parents is a mark of end times. What is it? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I read you a while ago. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's a mark of last days. It's a mark also of the character of a fool. Book of Proverbs 15 and verse 5. Proverbs 15:5. Here it is. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. You're a fool. You won't pay attention to that. God said you're a fool. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Now here's what you do to a fool and you won't help him. Let's look at the scripture. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 10. Fools make a mock at sin, but Proverbs 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise kid, you can just speak to him and he responds. A fool, you can put 100 lashes on him and it won't faze him. He's a fool. He's a fool! Who said so? God said you are a fool! That don't sound very pleasant, does it? God said you are a fool. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. All right, let's go a little farther. God said, now you obey him because it's right. It's a mark of heathenism. It's a mark of the last days. It's the character of a fool. And it's a mark of ingratitude. Did you know your best friends that you have, Mom, Dad? Best friends you have, Mom and Dad, now look what you do to them. The message is young people, not moms and dads. I've got separate messages for them on their failure, but this is what you do to Mom and Dad. Let's see what it says. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 1. The proverb of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. How many mothers walk around with a heart that's so like lead? Why? Foolish son or daughter. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 20. Wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. He thinks lightly of her. Look at Proverbs 17, 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. David beget a fool.
Hear him in his funeral. Oh, Absalom! Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee!
He begetteth a fool, begetteth he it to his sorrow.
Read the rest of the verse.
And the father of a fool hath no joy. A fool at home. Dad goes to work and there's no joy at work. Wherever he goes, he doesn't have any joy. Why? Boy, that little boy, that little girl, that he was the author of life to them and he held in the arms and prayed for and loved and nurtured and paid their way through school and put food on the table and clothes on their back and built a house for them and had great plans for them.
Brother, you take the joy out of a parent's life and that's wrong.
Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 13. A foolish son is a calamity of his father. Look at verse 26. He that wasteth his father, spends all that dad has. He's a loafer. He's a freeloader.
And chases away his mother, abuses his mother, big old 6 foot something running his mother out of the house.
Here's a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Look at Proverbs 28 verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Disobedience, what? It's a mark of heathenism. It's a mark of the last days. It's a mark of the character of a fool. It's a mark of ingratitude. It's a mark of rebellion. Would you turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15? I'll tell you what God thinks about your sin, and it's not easy. It's not something funny either. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obeys better than sacrifice and hearkening the fat of rams. Hear me, young people. God rather you obey your parents. Watch now. God rather you obey your parents and then put money in the offering and tithe. God rather you obey your parents and sacrifice one night a week to go visit them. I'm not violating visiting, but brother, if it doesn't work at home, your visitation is a farce.
God doesn't want anything that you have. If your religion, your Christianity, will not work with your parents, it won't work with anybody.
Let them show piety at home, 1 Timothy 5:4. Now, 1 Samuel 15, look at verse 23. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You're a witch.
Do it. You're a witch. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. You are bowing down and worshiping idols, and that idol happened to be you.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now what? They've exchanged the center of education. They've rejected the classroom of education, and you won't like this one either. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And the thing is, if you like the first one, you like it all the way through. If you fear the Lord, then you like the rest of it. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't like the rest of it. Proverbs 1, verse 10. And watch. The first thing God tells a person who says, I fear the Lord, is go home and obey daddy. Obey daddy! The first thing a daddy says to his son, boy, that's important, is about the crowd that you want to run with. Wrong companions. Oh. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 15, my son, Walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. And the best person in all the world to tell you who you can or can't run with is mom and daddy. I don't like it. I know you don't like it. Mom and daddy have more of a discernment of character than you do. God gives parents something you don't have and you'll get when you get to be a parent. They won't let me go away so and so, then knock it off. They don't like my friends because they're not the right for you. How will I be able to pick my friends? Yes, you had sense enough. That plain, man? You're not old enough to pick your friends. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Daddy said no. You see, he said, you tied to daddy. Yes, I'm tied to daddy. Yeah. Sissy. You're the sissy, you coward. You're a first-class coward. And you use that thing that gets you out. Sissy, because if anybody calls you sissy, you throw your virginity, you'd blow your mind, shoot needles, anything else, because nobody's going to call you sissy. You know why? Because you're a coward. Amen. You can call a man a sissy. Don't bother him. That don't make it so. Amen. A preacher, a deacon, go to church all the time. Come on, man. I got a good time. Shoot some stuff. Give me a nickel's worth. That's real smart, ain't it? You're real bright. Try one. Everybody's doing it. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's some kids that you can't entice off. And they ain't sissies. I tell you what, come go down the street corner with us. When everybody's going by and laughing and scoffing, and you get on the street corner and say, "Hey, folks, I want to tell you, Jesus saved me." Hey, come go with us, Mr. Big Boy. Mr. Hot Stuff, come go along, Miss Floozy. Come on. You want to be a man? You want to be a woman? Come on. You're a coward. You let the crowd tell you what you do. It's all wrong with you. You can't stand alone. Boy, if they tell you to do something, well, you don't have any guts to say no. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You are responsible to say no to the crowd. Dad said, "Now, son, I can teach you, but you're going to get out in traffic in life, and folks are going to come along, going to offer, you know, come on, let's rob a store. Come on, cast your lot in with us. Come on, let's do something terrible. Let's break in some place and or shoot some grass, smoke some grass, or shoot a needle. Come on. Listen, my son, I can't walk with you everywhere, but son, when they come, and you will be approached when they come, my son, I love you, consent thou not." And adults in this congregation would be shocked what this crowd right here is doing. You don't know nothing about. You mean my mom and dad's supposed to choose who I go with? Amen. Who said so? God? I don't like that. You don't have to obey. Now that's a tragedy about the public school system. Our officials and government have listened to sinners who said, "Take the Bible out of school. Take Christianity out of school. Take morality out of school. Take patriotism out of school.
Take diligence and work out of school. Take the teaching of obedience to authority out of school. Take it all out of the school and just let the child do what he wants to do. And our officials have listened to sinners and wrecked and ruined a generation of young people. You don't have to go, you don't have to go with folks. You got two legs. Dr. Fred Brown will be here in July. I love Dr. Fred Brown. You may not know it, but that man's a man. He's a teenager, and he said, J.B., he said, I have literally used my fists to keep people from leading me into sin. He knocked a town bully, I mean cold turkey. He said, that guy, you know, and said, I laid him out, got on conviction, felt so guilty, and I went to my pastor and said, Pastor, I'm just torn up. Said, I got in a fight, David. Pastor said, what happened? Said, well, I hit this fellow and knocked him out. He said, who was he? And he named a name. And the pastor said, you probably did the most spiritual thing you'll do all day. Oh. Yeah. Somebody gonna make you? You got two fists and 2 feet? Where'd you get the idea that being a Christian was a sissy stuff? Jesus wasn't in his sissy. He carried a cross up a hill. How about you trying it? See how far you go before you're even out of shape. You can't even do 2 push-ups without somebody helping you. My son, isn't it strange that the psalmist David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, begins with the same warning? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. No! Nor standeth in the way of sinners. No! Not going to stand around with you. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're not going to sit with you and make fun and laugh at Christian things. We're not going to do it. And some of you guys and girls come to church and you're so hyper-religious and sanctified and you get to school somewhere and you laugh about spiritual things because you don't have guts, listen, to take a stand, and you are just an old-fashioned chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? He's green here, and when he's on a green limb, he's brown. When he's on a brown limb, in other words, you're just a modern day hypocrite. One of these days, I'm going to have victory. It's a rapture. Paul's warning, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I'm not in a hurry. I've got a message to deliver to young people. And I want you to hear the last chapter. I'm not on it, but I want you to hear it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Son, daughter, look at the crowd that you run with. That's what you are and what you will be. The Bible said so. Birds of a feather flock together. Be not deceived. Don't kid yourself. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Did you know? I mentioned this Wednesday night. Some of you aren't here. Do you know the crowd to run with is the one that brings out the best in you, not the worst? Now, some of you folks, you madly in love crowd. And you don't know love from infatuation. And you don't know the difference between love and lust. You fight all the time and it brings out the worst in you. I got news saying I do won't change that. You think you can walk down the aisle, you know, and then you go home and now it's going to bring out the good stuff in you. No, sir. If you bring out the lowest in your nature when you associate with somebody, when you get married, you still do it the rest of your life. The person that's right for you, hear me, ought to be better than you in one sense, that it brings out the best in you. David said, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. Who are you running with? You run with a crowd that makes you rebel against mom and dad and fight and fuss and say no and disrespectful and insolent and haughty, proud and break the laws of the land. If you run with that crowd, that's what you are. Now, He said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, and did you know what? There ought to be the relationship of trust like a Christian with his Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father's told me some things that I don't see any danger in. But I'm to trust my Heavenly Father because He knows best, and I'm just a child." Your earthly father said, "Son, don't do that, then you ought to be." I say, "I don't understand it, Dad, but I respect and trust you, and I'll obey because I respect you." I'm talking to some teenagers today that you can bring heaven to your home. I'm talking to some teenagers today that lift a tremendous load off of their parents and fill their hearts with joy and bring singing to their home like you've never in all of your life. I'm talking to you, and the power is in your hand to do so. Now, I've talked about graduation without education because it rejected the center of education. Now, you can reject the center and say, "No, sir, I'm not going to have Christ." 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days," that's where we live, "perilous times, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." They'll be self-centered, and out of that self-centeredness flows the rest of the thing. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce," incontinent means untamable, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." The second mark of this age is not only self-centeredness, but the second mark is religious form. Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying their power thereof, a form of godliness, but God, keep your hands off me, denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Verse 7, "they're educated, ever learning." We have more folks with degrees today than any time in human history. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So I want to speak this morning on the subject, graduation without education. A lady, I believe in Dade County, Florida, sued the county because her daughter graduated from high school and couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't multiply, and yet she'd spent 12 years in an institution that was supposed to educate her daughter and prepare her for life in business or in home, and she got her diploma, but she wasn't educated. If your education does not give you the answers to life and adjustment to life and lead to well-being and a satisfactory life and a satisfactory home life and a proper adjustment to God, to society, and to home and church, then you have not received an education. You wasted 12 years of your life. It's tragic that today men know how to go to the moon, but don't know how to go to heaven. That's not education. Young people can go into the laboratory and they can take two parts hydrogen and mix it with oxygen, and they know they come up with water. But they do not know that you mix lust with sin equals death. Now, you know it's a law. If you take two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, you know that you come up with a solution called water. That's a law of science, an inexorable law. There's a law: if you take lust and mix it with sin, it bringeth forth death, just as certain as two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen bringeth forth water. And an education, it can't make you so smart in the science laboratory, but make you a first-class idiot and a fool in the laboratory of life, is not an education. Again, they know how to teach one world government, but don't know how to have unity in the home.
They talk about one world togetherness, and if you can't get along with the folks under the roof of your house, you can't get along outside of your house. They know how to prevent pregnancy, but they do not know how to prevent adultery. They know how to sow to get an abundant harvest, but they do not know that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And young people, I got news for you. It's bad news. One of these days, you're going to reap the harvest that you have sown. Just as sure and just as positive as a man puts corn in the ground and corn comes up. Young people, there's a harvest day coming, and a harvest day that one day you'll sit down at a table and eat will be that which you sowed and set the table for yourself. Now, you don't like that, but that's true. Again, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 21, he said, my people are wise to do evil, but how to do good they have no knowledge. Oh, what a day. Wise to know how to break into a house. Wise to how to use dope. Wise to how to use marijuana. Wise how to commit adultery. Wise in the sex act. Wise in rebellion. Wise in how to get away with the law. And wise how to fake your parents out. Wise how to steal. Wise how to rob. Wise how to cheat on grace. Wise to do evil, but how to do good they know not. And if you're so smart about knowing how to good eat to do evil, and you do not know how to do good, then you have the education of an idiot. You say, I don't like that. You don't know what the word idiot means. The word idiot means one's own. You're wrapped up in number one. I'll get to my message in just a moment. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 talks about the last days. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And oh my, we're turning out boys and girls with their heads full of facts and figures, and they do not know the very rudiments of what life is all about. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if your education does not equip you in order to serve you, but your education ruins you, you have not received an education. You received a diploma, but you didn't get an education. And some of you young people are sitting here with your eyes closed. Just close them. You go ahead one day, God will close His eyes on you. That's the end of my text. You reap what you sow. You turn a deaf ear. God, I'm not going to listen. One day you're going to cry, and God's going to put His fingers in His ear. He won't listen. I'm talking warning this morning, and you're not going to listen. And one day, you want God to listen, and you desperately want somebody to listen, you'll reap exactly what you sow. There'll be a deaf ear to your cry, and you laugh at God, and one day God's gonna laugh at you. You never heard that, did you? You're fixing to. Now let's look at this four things. Graduation without education because three things in a result. Number one, because they rejected the center of education. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Young people, my heart goes out to you. There's never been a generation when the devil's turned everything in the world loose on you. And I've said it and I say it again. There's no way in the world for a young boy or girl to go through public schools unless they have a strong home life and a strong church life to back it up without coming out a rebel against everything in society. No way. All right, number one. Graduation without education because they've rejected the center of education.